Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our 15th episode of Flick or Flop. I'm your co-host, Alex Maynard.
And I am your other co-host, Jeremy Kibler.
And, you know, I was counting the episodes here, and it's kind of sad, just gonna say, this is our 7th episode under quarantine.
I know. It's been, like, what, 6 weeks?
6 or 7 or 8 or 20.
What point is time?
However, there has to be a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm seeing it. There's a glimmer of hope. I'm seeing
Definitely. But yeah, it's... What is time anymore? But no, yeah, there is hope.
Guys are hanging in there. We have a couple of recommendations for you this week. I think.
We do.
A pretty good one.
At least two. Definitely two. So I guess we'll start with... Bad Therapy. So this is allegedly a dark comedy. It stars Alicia Silverstone and Rob Corddry as this Los Angeles couple. Silverstone is a real estate agent and she just wants to be taken care of. And she loves her husband, but she's just not satisfied, like, financially. And her husband, Rob Corddry, is this Nature Channel producer, and he doesn't really worry about anything. He doesn't worry about money or anything. So then she takes advice from one of her friends to try out marriage therapy, and they land on a marriage counselor named Judy Small, played by Michaela Watkins. And everything, you know, seems hunky-dory, and then Judy's unorthodox method has... turns out that she wants to see both Alicia Silverstone and Rob Corddry's characters separately, and she seems to be a little, well, more than a little unhinged, and she manipulates the couple and tries turning them against each other. So yeah, you dodged a bullet with this one.
If you guys can't tell by the lack of commentary from me.
Right.
Did so not this, see this one.
This is in, like, the pantheon of bad movies, like Bad Teacher, Bad Moms, Bad Santa, but this is just kind of bad. I don't know if it wants to, like, satirize, you know, L.A. shrinks, like that whole SoCal culture of marriage counselors, like hippy-dippy methods, but yeah, this is supposed to be a dark comedy. It's based on a book centered on this real life marriage counselor, Judy Small, and all the parts are there. Like, I like these actors; they're all pros. I like Michaela Watkins, Rob Corddry; they're always really funny, and I love Alicia Silverstone. You know, ever since Clueless.
Is this one of those movies where it's like, oh, you feel bad for the actors?
You do. It's also one of those movies like all these, you know, good actors, and it has a relatively good supporting cast as well that keeps popping up, and you just wonder, like, oh, all these good people, like,
so
how
where's
bad
the flaw?
Can it be?
Like, is it how it was shot? Was it the plot? Like, what's going on?
It was
a big old flop or what?
It never had any focus. It felt like it didn't go far enough with where, like, if it wanted to be comedic, it wasn't funny enough. If it wanted to be dark, it wasn't dark enough. It just never decided on what it wanted to do or...
Is it kind of like Last Christmas? Like, just so blah?
This is worse than Last Christmas, I would say. It's so thin and so flat, and it just doesn't take any shape. And it reminded me of one of those 90s... thrillers that you would probably find on Lifetime, like Therapist from Hell, that sort of thing. But yeah, and it just, the way it ends is really incomplete, and I almost thought that it was like a dream sequence, but it really wasn't. It was just so unrealistically, like, upbeat in the end. And Haley Joel Osment's in this also, randomly, and yeah, I don't know. It's no fault of the actors, of course, but this is from, like, a first-timer. So, yeah, it's definitely a flop. Oh, I do want to say, like, it's based on a book called Judy Small, but it never seems really interested in Judy Small. She's just kind of an idea. She's this, you know, wackadoo, but you never understand, like, where she's coming from. But she wears a lot of pretty scarves. I guess that's supposed to be interesting. But yeah, bad therapy is definitely a flop.
So you said a real estate agent was involved, and now we're going into the next.
Ooh, nice segue.
Yeah, do you like my little segue there?
So now we're moving on to a horror film.
1BR.
1BR, one bedroom, but yeah, 1BR. You know, there has to be one horror film each week, since it's me. But this is a surprisingly good one.
I've been
one.
Looking for a good one.
Yeah, this is a surprisingly good one. So, 1BR, it starts off with this young woman, again, in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. She's timid, but she's ambitious. She wants to be a costume designer, and she signs up for these classes. She's ready to build a new life, get away from her narcissistic father, and she finds this apartment community. Everybody seems very friendly, and she ends up signing a lease for a one bedroom, and she gets it. Seems perfect for her. There is a no pet policy, so she does sneak in her cat.
No pet, no smoking.
Right. And on her first night in her new community, all the neighbors invite her to a barbecue. Everyone's great. And then first, night sleeping there, she's kept up by some noisy plumbing. I don't even want to say much more of where it goes from there. Things get horrific.
You know, I feel like it's everybody's dream gone completely wrong. It's like she's going to embark on this new journey, and she doesn't know anything. She's very ignorant, but she's very optimistic.
Yeah, she's very naive. Yeah, you said ignorant. I mean, yeah, she is.
She's ignorant.
Yeah, she has her blinders up.
Totally. I mean, she's just not confident at all in anything, but she's still going for it.
Right.
So it's like she's hoping that she finds this great place, and it seems that way, and everything, as you know it, turns out to be something different.
Yeah, as you said, it is like a living nightmare. She is caught in this nightmare.
Kind of reminds me of like Purge almost, but like a confined type of,
I could say,
not the Purge, but like
I could say other movies that this reminds me of, but I really don't even want to go there, because I think it's one of those movies that you go into cold, go into blind, knowing nothing about it. I think it,
well, here's the cool thing, like, rewarding. You put this on, and I literally, I don't know, I was, like, not interested at first, and I passed out. I'm like, I don't even know, like, this just isn't getting me, and that was, like, 20 minutes, I would say,
but
right?
You did, we should say, you did watch the entire thing.
I did watch the entire thing. Rewatched it. Yeah. I was like, listen, let me give it the benefit of the doubt. I'll watch it during the daytime.
Right.
You wanted me to wait until it was like dark. And I was like, no, listen. No, 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 no. Let's make sure that I stay awake. So I thoroughly participated.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is also from another first time writer and director this time, David Marmer. Yeah, I knew nothing about this going in. When I watched the trailer, I didn't even watch the entire trailer, I thought it was going to be more supernatural, and I'm glad it wasn't. I found this to be quite scary, actually. I feel like it could happen. And I feel like LA is the only place that this could be believable in.
It very well could happen. And that's what's so scary.
Yeah. The lead who plays, I guess we even say her name, Sarah. Nicole Bryden Bloom is the actress who plays Sarah. I thought she was quite good. She does play that timid, naive ingenue that you kinda want her to have more of a backbone, and she eventually gets there. She's very emotionally available. She goes to some pretty, like, heightened places, we'll say. There's some gnarly stuff that happens to her.
I kind of wish that she would have, embraced her character more. I don't know.
Yeah?
Yeah, for me, I think she was just a little bit too flat.
Aww.
For for the extreme situations. I feel like there were, like, extreme situations, and I don't necessarily know.
I bought it.
Yeah, it was good. It was good, but, like, there were other parts where I'm like, wait.
Right.
Whenever she was flat, she was flat. Aww.
I didn't think you were flat, whatever your name was. Nicole.
Yeah, exactly. See? She's like a wallflower. Like, yeah. Like, it was about her, but it wasn't even about her.
That was the character, though. She was very impressionable. And some of the other actors stood out to me. I really liked that older woman. She was very memorable.
Oh, my God. Edie. Love her.
Yes. She goes, yeah. I miss Stanford.
Well, I always love that character. Mm-hmm. Like, in American Horror Story and all that. Like,
yeah.
Gosh, what's her name?
Jessica Lange.
Both. Absolutely both. Yes. That's my kind of character.
Yeah. But then, yeah, this is a smart little horror movie. Even after you understand what's going on, I feel like it's always tense. I never found it predictable.
No.
I really never did.
No. And even the ending, like, I love.
Yeah. Right. And I just felt like it kept upping the ante. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ending, the final shot, yeah, really chilling. It reminded me of another movie, but I don't
know. It was fun.
It was, I mean, disturbing but fun. I would definitely call it disturbing.
So this was a first timer, you said?
First timer, yeah.
Okay. Well, are there any others that are in the works? Do you know anything about?
I haven't even looked at his filmography yet.
No?
But I just know that this was his first time. But,
well, hats off. I don't know.
Hats off. Keep making movies. My only criticism, I would say, was I didn't like the score all the time.
Okay.
They had some music choices that I liked, but the actual, like, musical score... what did I even say? It's I don't even know how else to describe it. It just felt, like, generically sinister, I think I might have written down. It was like a piano score. I don't know. It felt, I don't know. I don't want to say cheap. I felt like it was a very generic score. It just could have been any...
What were some of the songs?
There was one that they played a couple times.
It was decent.
How it's used. But yeah. I guess we'll wrap this review up. It's definitely a flick for me.
I can't wait to see the full review.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I can't either.
Well, I know. Well, before we decided to podcast, I was like, where's that review?
Because it's getting there. So I guess I should just say, Bad Therapy, I mean, if you're so inclined, it's available to watch on demand. It's available now. Mm-hmm. And then 1BR is available to download digitally and to rent on demand.
So iTunes, yes. Or your
network. iTunes, yeah.
Your cable provider.
Cable provider, yes.
I need to look into... I'm looking into that soon. I'm going to ditch it.
What? Ditch what? Cable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like there's no real need for it anymore.
Because if you're saying you can get it on iTunes...
Yeah.
Just get Apple TV.
Exactly. I will say, not every movie that is on your cable provider on demand shows up on, like, iTunes, but that's...
It's all so complex. Yeah. Just Google it.
Right. And then... Okay, so we have one more movie. I watched this. It's called... True History of the Kelly Gang. This is... I don't know if you know anything about... I don't. It's about the Australian outlaw Ned Kelly.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about it. And I was like, oh, it's like one of those outlaw type movies.
Yeah, so
I'm
going to
pass
is...
on that. Let me know if you have another horror.
So there were a couple of Ned Kelly movies that already came out. One had... Joker. Heath Ledger.
Okay.
Played Ned Kelly. So this one is, Ned Kelly is played by George MacKay. He was from 1917. He was, like, the lead.
And I loved 1917.
Yeah. So this kind of depicts his life, growing up to the time that he, you know, became this infamous, legendary outlaw, and he had his gang of, other, I guess they're called, like, bush rangers? I don't know. This takes place, like, in the Badlands of 19th century Australia. He's kind of
like cowboys?
Robin Hood, kind of, but not doing it for the good, really. I don't know. It's, how did I feel about this? It's very grim and very, like, very, like, barbaric. It had kind of, like, a punk rock style to it. It has a lot of style. I liked the performances. Besides George MacKay, Russell Crowe is in this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was...
Who did he play?
He's very profane. He plays just one of kind of like a, I don't want to say a teacher, but like Ned Kelly kind of becomes his protege in a way.
Okay.
And then Charlie Hunnam is also in this. He gets to bear it all from The Gentleman.
Yes.
Yeah, I like him. Yeah, and this is also kind of one of those true stories that at the beginning kind of tells you, you know, this actually isn't the true story. It's been fictionalized or whatever. It tries to, like...
So the true story was the inspiration for this fake story.
Right, like it says, nothing you're about to see is true, that sort of thing. But yeah, he...
Which is most movies.
Right, right. But, no, I liked this for the most part. I thought it was a little sluggish here and there, but, it was mostly compelling, and I liked the bold choices it took, and it has a lot of, like, showy performances, especially from Russell Crowe. So, yeah, I would give this a solid flick.
Yeah.
This is on demand. You can probably skip it, but... Probably not your cup of tea.
So you said it's a true story, but not a true story? Listen, I would rather just watch The Tiger King. I would rather binge The Tiger King.
What I meant by that is, like, he's like a myth, kind of. But he... It kind of just deals with the mythos of Ned Kelly. Like, who was he? I don't know. That's like, beside the point. Like, you know, what's up on the screen is what really matters. But yeah, so those are the three movies that we have.
Wow, jam-packed week.
So many.
Jam-packed week.
So many.
So obviously, since theaters aren't going to be opening up anytime soon, or at least, I don't know.
I wish we had a drive-in around here.
Yes, yeah.
Or we can make
my
our own
hometown,
drive-in.
There's two nearby.
We're going to have to
soon. Yeah, absolutely.
Did
so
you,
much fun.
Are they open? Did you look them up?
You know what? I should take a look, but
you
so
should.
Much fun.
Yes.
Love those. So what's up next week or this week? It's Sunday.
Oh, I don't
what's,
even know what day
what's
it is.
Coming up?
What is it going to be? May 1st next Friday?
I don't know, but I guess I'm going to turn 30 at home under quarantine, which is going to be so much fun.
Right. Well, you have till June.
Right.
It's not May yet.
I already turned 30 in my head.
Oh, did you?
Oh, Lord.
What do we have next week? So, if it is May 1st, I would like to catch up with a couple Netflix movies I haven't watched yet. There's a Chris Hemsworth movie. He plays Thor.
Thor?
Thor. He's that Australian hunk.
Uh-huh.
He's in some movie called Extraction. It's like an action movie.
Oh,
might watch
fun.
That. What we will definitely get to is an IFC midnight release called The Wretched, about a witch.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll talk about porno.
Porno.
Porno, we watched that.
Did we?
The horror comedy about the small town movie theater employees.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, they blend together. You're gonna have to rewatch it.
Oh lord.
Yes! Anyway. So yeah, we'll have probably three or four next week. And you better remember everything.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to have to start taking notes.
You will. I think you should.
Yeah.
You should.
Well, I mean, I didn't like it. So, oops, sorry. Spoiler.
You didn't?
No.
Sorry.
Spoiler.
Oh, wow.
Well, you'll have to stay tuned and see what Jeremy has to say. He's the critic. I mean, he's you know, you're the movie critic.
And you're the voice of the people.
I am the voice of the average Joe next door who just loves to catch a flick here and there.
Right. Oh, we should also watch Circus of Books. It's about... a Jewish couple owning a gay porn bookstore.
Oh my gosh.
It's a documentary.
All the porn things.
That sounds fun. Right, porno, yeah.
Listen, I don't know. Lots of movies and stuff lately where I'm like, why? Just why? Anyway.
Just play your video games.
Hope you guys are staying sane.
Yeah, staying sane, staying healthy.
I am going to say next week, though, this is going to be 8 weeks under quarantine, and it's going to be episode 16. So we're creeping up to 50% of the episodes under quarantine. Yeah. So we're going to have to do something to, like, spice things up.
I hope we get renewed for a second season.
I know. Well, if you take a look at, like, episode 10, I think it says nobody can cancel us.
Uh-huh.
Later, Gators. Love you lots.
Bye, guys.